Tom, you're now listening to Stas, the podcast during which time stops. Bonjour Prisca.
Bonjour Stas.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good, and you?
Yeah, thank you. Why are we speaking English? It's because our guest comes from South Africa. He's one of the most popular DJ in his country and soon in the whole world. You've probably danced on his famous hit Nikke that even Rihanna approved. Hello Tyler, I see you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm very great, yourself?
Yeah, I'm fine. We are so happy to have you here.
I'm glad to be here as well.
It's such a privilege.
Oh, no, it is very much indeed.
Prisca, what's going to happen now?
So before starting the interview, we need to do something that's called the review, in French, la rétrospective.
Okay.
The review is a 30-second interview during which Tom will ask you questions about key moments of your life.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Tyler, your date of birth?
1997-01-03.
The favorite place of your childhood?
Timbisa, home.
At what age did you start doing music?
10.
The song you're the most proud of?
Nige.
The artist that inspires you doing music?
The Weeknd.
Your dream destination?
Greece.
Let's stop the clock.
Taylor, during this interview, we're going to talk about your present, your past, and then your future.
Okay.
Is it your first time in Paris?
Second time in Paris.
Second time. Do you like it here?
Yeah, it's such a good atmosphere, and I've been trying to see the Eiffel Tower.
You've seen it already or no?
Seen it from afar. I mean, it's always packed there.
Yeah.
We went there the first time when we came and it was just so packed and we were like, okay, let's not put ourselves in a riot. Let's just run away.
I should make you visit this building because we have a fantastic view of Paris up there.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I would love to see it before I go.
Okay, we're going to do that after. So, of course, we have to talk about Nikke. It means give.
Yes.
So, when you were producing the song, what did you want to give to your audience?
I mean, when we initially sampled the female vocal inside the song, we didn't really have a direction of, okay, what are we giving to them? It was just saying, Namnik, Namnik, Namnik. And when we invited Tumelo to come record the vocals, and then he just created a whole story of the people are asking for a dance, and it's because of this song, and we're going to give them the dance. So the whole song is built out of the dance. It's like people are asking for the dance and we're going to give them the dance. So, yeah.
Can you dance, Tyler?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, really?
I try. My two little feet can dance with the devil.
I can't. I know Prisca is dancer, but
Prisca,
I can't.
Prisca is a dancer?
I'm not lying.
He dances better than
really?
I do, and
no,
I have video.
We'll do the challenge. We'll do the challenges.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay. If you teach us the steps.
I thought you said you know how to dance.
He said.
But that's true.
I did not say that. I know how to dance, but like more from like Congolese side, like, you know,
okay,
with the waistline and stuff.
Okay. Isn't that the Caribbeans?
That's nice. As well, but I'm half from the West Indies as well.
Okay, cool. Okay, that makes sense.
How long did it take you to create the track?
3 different days, because we started with making instrumentals, because when we were making the instrumentals, it was Misika Nandipa. We were just like creating like different beats, and this is one of the beats we made within those studio session of us just creating beats. And then went out to go play the instrumental to the crowd. I saw how the crowd received the instrumental so well, so I was like, I don't want it to just come out as an instrumental, because sometimes when you put out instrumentals, they don't really reach that far off to like, okay, getting into the billboards, you know, people relating to the song. They just hear the instrumental, be like, yeah, we love it, and dance to it, and then it dies out after some time. So I just called Tumelo and say, you know, come and try to put in some vocals. I really have like a strong feeling that this is going to be the next big song. And then he came, and then he really pushed himself to put the vocals and just making the arrangement work. And I think that's why we also just sent it to Maphorisa to just work on the arrangement of the song. So he really helped us out with the arrangement. And then he sent it back to us again. And then I invited Tyrone to come add some few elements into it just to spice it up. So, yeah, it was just a lot of back and forth and just inviting people to collaborate.
So when you were doing the music, you knew that you were about to drop a banger.
Yeah, we knew from when we were making it that this one is the one.
So you made sure that it would work, like in South Africa. But did you expect it to hit global?
No, global, it was not. I didn't expect it global because I just felt like, because of the lyrics, you know, you just think, oh, it's going to be a South African song because of the lyrics. And I didn't think the melody was going to be so broad and international like that.
You've released a remix of the song not too long ago.
Yes.
Featuring Lojay and Shali Poppy.
Yes.
So let's talk about it. What did you want to bring with that new version?
The reason also it just took us a whole year to do the remix is because I wanted to just have a different taste in terms of the instrumental itself, you know, because it has changed a little bit from the original instrumental. I think a few people did notice. And my piano grows every year. Like, it's like every after 6 months, there's always a new thing that's happening in the my piano instrumentals or in just the my piano space, you know. So there was a funk series where people were just like gravitating more into instrumentals, not having a kick anymore. It's just the drums just moving without a kick, you know. So I just gravitated myself into like learning the new style of the Adama piano and then be like, okay, cool, let's go back into the song. And then we stripped off some things and then added new elements, and then that's where we got into the studio session with Lojay. And it was like, okay, cool, we got to record him that night and we were so confident and so happy. And then I sent it to Maphorisa, and Maphorisa was like, yo, this is the one. I think you should add Shali Poppy on it. And I thought it was going to be hard to get Shali Poppy because he's also like a growing artist right now. He's booming and he's moving, you know. And sometimes people like that, you kind of feel like, ish, they're going to be too hard to reach, you know. And with him, when we texted his team and then we told them the idea, they were just overly happy as well. They're like, okay, when do you want to do it? We'll be there. And then we told them that, you know, we can do the studio session this day. Let's link up. And they were there. And then we did the song and it was amazing.
One of the most spectacular thing is that, like we said previously, Nike is one of Rihanna's favorite song.
Yes.
How do you feel on the subject?
I mean, when I saw the first video, I was just like, is she talking about me? Is she talking about me? Did she really talk about me? And I think before we even went and reposted the video itself, we're just going crazy in the house with the other artists that were there. And I was like, oh, this is so crazy. We didn't expect this. And we're just like excited at the first moment and to be like, okay, cool. It's good that the whole world is listening to us and also just having also big artists listen to Amapiano like this is quite amazing.
This is what I was about to say. The amazing thing is South African artists finally get the recognition they deserve.
Yes, yeah, we really getting there. And for me, I'm so happy because of it's the sound that really comes from South Africa. You know, it's not that we're jumping on Afrobeats or hip hop. You know, it's nice to grow with something that comes from where you come from. You know,
you're very faithful to your identity.
Yes. I have to. I mean, from everywhere in the world, whenever you meet people, they love where they come from, where they go. You know, it's like they'll have a session guitarist that's there that's gonna come and add something on the song, but they never put those names out there to say like, yeah, there was who and who put this guitar, you know. And they just leave them out and then they just like grow themselves as the artist or as just the producer, you know. So with the culture of Amapiano is that we want everybody to grow and we want everybody to eat, you know. So it's like if I have a session guitarist or a violinist or a pianist, I want to put their names out there so that it's not just me you're going to work with. You're going to work with me And then it's going to give you other people to work with when they see your name. Be like, oh, you were also part of that song. What did you do? Oh, you did that. Oh, I actually like that. Can you come and we do something together, you know? So, yeah, I think it's that. We're just trying to grow the whole community of the music, the whole community of just of black people helping each other, you know? So, yeah.
Tyler, it's time for us to dive in your past. First question being, when did Austin became Tyler ICU and why this name?
Well, Austin got the first name Tyler in primary. So in high school, there was a girl I used to sit right next to. We were sharing a table. And I don't know, for some reason, she just came up to me and was like, you look like this other guy from this movie called Tyler. The movie Step Up 2000, the first one. She's like, you look like that guy. Because I used to have the trim brush cut. So he was like, yeah, you look like that guy. So she was calling me that guy mostly. It's like, Tyler, Tyler. And then everybody just started picking up the name Tyler. And I just changed my name from that into, well, Tyler. I won't say that the other name of it because I'm embarrassed of it. So because it was Tyler something before ICU. So I was doing hip hop and whatsoever. So this one guy in high school that I was making beats for, so he came, it was like one of those nights where he was just making songs late at night and bass is just going, bass is just hitting so crazy. It's like, yo, your beats can put people on ICU, Joe. Like, this bass is so crazy. You should add that to your name. Me and them thinking this thing is, it's a joke. You know, you're letting it pass. The next day, we're having another studio session. He comes, it's like, yo, I told this girl to record a tagline for you. Let's record it. You will hear it. And then we're there recording. And so she just comes and say, Tyler, I see you. I wouldn't say that other point. But yeah, you hear it. Says, Tyler, I see you, my bro. It's like, oh, okay. This is where it's going. It's fine. Let's go with Tyler, I see you. And then that's how I got Tyler, I see you as a name.
It's an addition of different steps of your life. Like you grew.
Yeah. Yes. I was watching this other podcast just the other day, and someone was this guy. He was talking about names, and he was like, "Yo, it's so important as a person when you grow that your name changes over time, because you as a person you grow and you change, you develop into someone different. You know, it's different from when you are born and your parents be like, let's call you Kiki, you know, because for them at that time it makes sense to call you Kiki, you know. But when you grow, you find yourself, you find the type of person you are, and Kiki is no longer like really your, it's no longer you, it's no longer the type of person inside anymore, you know. You changed.
You started music at the age of 10, like you said. Yeah. And I think it's thanks to your cousin, right?
Yeah, it was very much.
Yeah.
Having him around, it was quite inspiring, because, I mean, you grow up, you're watching people on TV, they're doing songs, you're listening to songs on radio, you don't know how these songs are made, you know, you just have an idea that, okay, there's an instrument, oh, who, what's that? Okay, it's a guitar, what's that? Oh, it's a bass guitar. Or piano, but you don't know how this whole thing is being put together. And him coming over to do his production at my house is the one thing that helped me, because I was like, what is that? It's like, no, that's the kick. This is what I'm just there sitting looking at him, so amazed of him making a song right in front of me. And I was like, okay, I want to try it too. So as soon as he leaves, I'm the one that's sitting there. I don't care how many hours I was putting. It didn't matter for me, you know. It was just the excitement of knowing that there's something within my grasp that I like, and I want to do it for my life. So, yeah.
But your father was also a DJ, right?
Yeah, my father was a DJ, you know. But, you know, I think as a... when you grow up in a household, especially when there's someone that's doing artistry or a DJ whatsoever, they don't they won't push you to do what they do, you know. They'll try to be like, try to push you to have a better life, be like, nah, you should go study medicine, go study law and stuff like that, you know. So growing up, my mom was just trying to push me towards more into just having a better life instead of being a DJ, you know. And my dad was also supporting my mom, you know. I was like, yeah, no, no. But at the same time, he would just come and say, what do you need? What do you need?
He bought your first computer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So that's why I was like, ah, what do you need? What do you need? And then we'll just get things out of, you know, without telling my mom. And my mom will see it after. Be like, so you bought this kid this thing?
So, yeah. Like you say, before becoming a full-time artist, you had a 9-to-5 job. Yes. You were a security guard.
Yeah, I was a security guard.
So how was it?
I think it, for me, as much as it was, how can I put it? It was a sad time of my life where I had to stop doing what I love the most and just focus on a 9-to-5 job. It was sad, but also at the same time, it was a growing moment because of it taught me responsibility, knowing to be, I need to be awake at this time, I need to be here at this time, I need to be clocked in at work at this time, and I need to come back at this time, I need to sleep at this time. So that kind of helped me to like arrange my life easier, you know. So that whole stage of my life, that whole 1 year period that I took of me learning responsibility, it really changed my life. Because I don't think if I just like went into just doing music from jump, I would be quite responsible as I am right now, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm one of the most responsible artists ever. I've never missed a show, I've never missed a flight. So
you're never late. You've been super punctual here to come here as well.
Yeah, I've never been late.
It's not always the case with artists, you know that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like just having that in my life just taught me how to be responsible. And the fact that I'm also responsible for my craft, for me being the artist or being the business, is the one that keeps me to like, okay, cool, I have to do this thing, I have to be on time, I have to keep pushing, because if I'm not pushing, the business is lacking.
There's an important name we need to mention. It's Poris. It's DJ Maporisa.
Yes.
It's a big name in the South African industry. So first of all, how did you meet him and how did you join his team?
One of the most unplanned story ever. Like, I don't think at the time we even had an idea of meeting my producer in our heads, you know, because I was working more hand in hand with Mess Music and this other guy called Vino Miller. So we're doing hip hop at the time and we're just like strongly into hip hop. So we did like 3 albums within the period of 6 months. While doing those albums, we tried different styles, and this other one, it was more trap, it was more into the streets. So we're like, okay, cool, let's just take out one track and see how the streets receive it. And that's when we were just like putting stuff on Datafire Host or just SoundCloud just for people to just go listen, you know. So we went and put that song on SoundCloud and we put it on Datafire Host. We sent it to our friends, sent it to everyone that we knew, and we're just like trying to push it in the streets, you know, so heavily. For some, I don't know how, this one girl that I was working with my producer at the time, I don't know what she was doing for my producer, but she was working more for my producer. They had like more close communication. So she got a hold of the song. She played it for my producer and And then she reached out to us and be like, yo, you guys are making very good music. I'm trying to push you guys to meet my producer. I'm like, okay, you know, at that time we just felt like it was far-fetched. I was like, no, is this? We don't know who this girl is. There's no such thing, you know. So we just continued on our thing, and then we just did our thing, and then we released the album on SoundCloud, and then she played the whole album to my producer, and that's when we got the call from my producer saying, yo, you guys are actually crazy. You guys need to come to the studio. The only sad part about that for me, it was I had to go to work. So I had to go to work. So I told Mass and Vino to like, oh, you know what? You guys can go meet my police. I'll come another time because me, I have to go to work. So the guys went to go meet my police while I went to work. And for 2 months, it was just a phone conversation. Yo, what do you guys need? They're like, yeah, send us beats and whatsoever. And I'll send beats and whatsoever and just communicating. And then they were like, the guy wants to meet you because you're the only guy that he hasn't met. And you are more active in terms of sending beats and stuff like that. So he really wants to meet you. Can you come? I'm like, yeah, I can come. And then I went to meet him for the first time. And then he had listened to some of the beats I also came with. And he was like, oh, you're really good. You're really good. I want to try working on more stuff with you. But when I have time, because now I'm still busy moving up and down and whatsoever. I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. I'll come another day. I went back home. And then I went back to work and everything. And then just out of nowhere, I had just arrived at work. Like, just got there. And be like, yeah, it's time to start the work. And then he calls. It's like, dude, can you come over right now? I'm like, right now? Says, yeah, I need you right now. There's a song I'm trying to do. I want you to be on it. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll be there. After the call, I'm there thinking to myself, okay, this is the moment where I have to choose. Do I continue being a security guard or do I go and do this one thing that I love so much? I called the office. I was like, can you guys get a replacement? I'm leaving.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
They're like, what? I'm like, I'm leaving. Get a replacement. I'm leaving. When you guys get here, I won't be here. And they thought it was a joke. I literally left my post. I went to my barista. Went there. We did the song and worked and worked. And then I went back home. My mom sees me coming back, says, why are you coming back at this time? I need to make up a story here. Okay, I lied. I told her I got fired. They said they found me sleeping just the other day. They took a video of me sleeping at work. So I'm getting fired. And my mom's like, okay, we'll get you another job. We'll figure out something else. I was like, yeah, no, it's fine. We'll figure out something else. And cool, I stay there for like 2 days. And then my producer calls me again. It's like, oh, dude, where are you? I'm like, I'm at home. It's like, what do you mean you're at home? You're supposed to be moving in. I thought that's what you were doing. I'm like, that's what's happening. It's like, yeah, come stay here with us. So it's easier to do work so you don't keep going back and forth. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. I told my mom the next day, I'm like, I'm leaving. My mom was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I met my police and this is what's going on. I'm leaving. She was like, just like that? You know, no, like a month heads up or you trying to anything, you are leaving. I'm like, I'm leaving. She's like, what about your stuff? Everything. I'm like, it doesn't matter at this point. I really want to do this thing and this is my shot. And then she was like, okay, cool. Don't forget to call. Don't forget to come visit. And yeah, that's how I left.
That's an incredible story. This is a phone call of your life, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. It is. It changed my life. I had to take that step. It's the step that got me to be where I am. You know, I learned a lot from him. He was a very, he's a great teacher, great mentor, you know. So yeah, till today, I'm still learning from him. Like we talk a lot. He sends ideas. He sends like things I need to try out. You know, it's like, no, try out this. So yeah.
Tyler, it's time to talk about your future.
How do you see your future?
How do I see my future?
Take your time.
The one thing I've always wanted to do is I want to fill up stadiums by myself, no supporting acts, no nothing, because I feel like with the amount of songs that I'll be having in the future, it's good enough to make a 4-hour set nonstop. just banger after banger.
This is very optimistic. This is optimistic. And we've seen during this whole interview that when you think about something, you manage to make it happen.
That's so true. Yeah.
It is. It is. It's gonna get there. It's not something of I'm looking to do it right now. I feel like God will just put it into works. I just need to focus on making the music, making the people happy, and the rest will just follow.
However, it's been 2 years now that you haven't released an album.
Yeah.
Can we expect something in the next month or in the next few years to come?
I don't know, man. I might just surprise you.
Oh.
I might just surprise you. I mean, I was supposed to drop something, but so far people have been receiving singles much more easier than a whole compiled of work, you know? And also just how the music spectrum also has changed. I don't think people have that time also to just also be listening to a full compiled album anymore, you know? For like people don't want to, like if you're saying an EP or an album, they just want to hear 3 songs, 4 songs. They just want to hear the bangers and be out. They don't want to hear some of the other things, you know? So I feel like if you want to direct people into a song, it's good to just put out 1 song each time. Put up 1 song. It's much more easier for people to gravitate to. You know, it's like, okay, this is the song. This is what we're listening to.
It's true.
Yeah,
people tend to consume music a lot differently nowadays, and I think it's also because of social media. Because like we used to punch lines mostly,
yes.
And so people will listen to the song to find the line.
Yeah,
and then they will just look for the song, and that's it.
Same. You can just see it from how also just the spectrum of videos have moved into. It's like also just the songs have moved from 3 minutes to 2 minutes. Those ones that used to be 6 minutes, now they're 3 minutes. So it's just the length of the songs has decreased.
Let's talk about it. I was about to ask you a question about it, because the very particular thing about Amapiano is that it's super long. It's 6, 7, 8 minutes.
Well, with the culture of Amapiano, because it comes from deep house, so most of South Africans they usually used to just the beat starting like that. It's like we wait for everything to be introduced, you know, every 30 seconds some new instrumentals getting introduced. So South Africans is like that. While else in the other parts of the world, they don't have that kind of a patience. We wanna hear the song from jump immediately when it starts. We want to hear somebody singing.
I think that something that helped you hitting global is that you release songs and you always release the radio edit as well.
Yes, yes, yes. I feel like because of there are people that want to be in a journey with an original song, and the people that just want to hear the song and be like, I love the song and I just want to hear it immediately. I just want to hear Ike, Ike, Ike. So... yeah, so I have to meet all fan bases and halfway. I can't just be like, okay, since this is South Africa, I'm just gonna keep it like that. No, I mean, I'm trying to go global, so I have to also have the global edit as well.
Do you fully consider yourself as an international artist now?
Yeah, I fully consider myself as an international artist. If I'm working on something, I also try to think, okay, is this gonna be welcomed well in the global space, you know? And I just practically put all fan bases into one. It's like I know if it's gonna work globally, it's also gonna work for South Africa as well. And because I also keep the culture of Amapiano within the songs. I'm not trying to diluting or changing the culture. It's just a matter of bringing it all together into one, and it's been working so fine so far.
When we hit global like you did with Mnike, is it harder to release new songs? Do you feel like some sort of pressure? Am I gonna be able to do better?
I mean, within the first few weeks of the song being global, it did hit me to be like, what am I going to release after this, you know? It was a bit tough, you know? But I just came back into my senses and be like, how did Mnike be Mnike? It was because I was having fun. It was because I was not thinking of the other people I was just thinking of, does this song make me feel good? If it makes me feel good, it's the one. I just went back into my roots to just making music for fun.
Tyler.
Yes.
I'm going to ask every person here to leave the studio.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir, okay. Christian.
I'm leaving the studio.
No, you're staying here. No?
Thought I was safe.
I'm about to open a time capsule.
Okay.
So in a few seconds, you'll be alone. I won't be here neither. Only you on your own, you'll have 1 minute to say whatever you want.
Okay.
A message you want to share, how you feel, a life lesson, anything. The capsule will be opened in 10 seconds.
Okay.
So I wish you good luck, Tyler, see you in a minute.
All right. For the Tyler I See You in the future and the future fans of Tyler I See You, I want you guys to know that inner you is the happy you. If you live in the present, you'll be the most happiest as you will ever be, ever in the world. And you should embrace living in the present, not the future, not the past. I love you.
How do you feel, Tyler?
Well, after that message I just sent, I feel great.
Thank you, Tyler, for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that so much.
Merci, Prisca.
Merci à vous. I'm really grateful for this interview. It's very cool.
Le cours du temps peut reprendre. Merci à vous d'avoir écouté ce podcast. C'était en intégral et je vous dis à très bientôt.